The evolution of social media continues, and the latest developments see services like Facebook and Twitter turning into news sources, not just for Gen Xers and Gen Yers, but for boomers and traditionalists alike. The fact is, social media provides information a lot faster than just about every other medium, which makes it a very valuable tool for a number of business models and for a number of users. With more on the growing appeal and various uses of social networking, we are joined now by Ajoa Boheni. She is co-founder of NGen. Ajoa, it's very nice to speak with you today.
My pleasure, Greg. Thanks for having me.
So let's introduce you and your work a little bit to our listeners first. Tell us more about NGen and what you do.
Well, NGen People Performance Inc. is a performance improvement company, and what we do is layering on a generational perspective to people practices. So whether it is recruitment or talent management, succession planning, what kind of services and what kind of perspectives do we need to take into account? So we offer training, workshops, and consulting services.
Okay, and so you're basically taking the position that not all workers are created equal, and a 40-year-old in the workforce today does not have the same goals or priorities as a 20-year-old.
That's right. We say that traditionalists, baby boomers, Gen X, and Gen Y have very different values, behaviors, and expectations, and that we need to take those into account as we're building, as we're managing people, as we're leading people, and as we're building our people practices.
All right. So let's talk about something that's becoming, I think, more and more of a buzzword, probably at boardroom meetings at companies right across the country and around the world, and that is this explosion of popularity of social networking sites and how it can be a legitimate workplace tool, and in some cases, it can also be a time waster. It's being accepted, I think, by older generation workers more and more, many of whom probably were assumed to be outside the target demographic for, you know, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, all of these other social networking sites. So tell us, first of all, why the phenomenon is trickling up, as it were.
Well, what we found fascinating is the fact that there is this trickle-up effect happening, and in fact that 61% of baby boomers are reporting that they do use social networking sites at work. So we think that traditionalists and baby boomers are being more and more influenced by the youngest cohort in particular, Gen Ys. Maybe their children at home are teaching them, or their grandchildren even perhaps, and that they are recognizing the value. What we actually found surprising, if I may say, about the research was the percentage of baby boomers and traditionalists who reported using these social networking sites at work. Since a lot of workplaces right now are really hesitant, if not have even banned social networking sites at work, we thought it was interesting that it's not only the young who are using them.
And while it started off, I think, for a lot of people to just kind of compare notes on what you did this past weekend and share photos and that kind of thing, the uses have become very diversified. Are there more common uses across the board, or have you found a big generational divide in how people of different ages use these services?
Not so much, and our research didn't really focus on the content, let's say, of the different sites. I mean, anecdotally, I know that oftentimes baby boomer mothers and fathers say, well, I've made my child be my friend, or I'm a friend on my child's Facebook, so I can kind of see what's going on in my child's life. So we suspect that, and this, you know, suspicion only, that it's still being used for social reasons. The key difference is, though, is that it's not only the young who are using social networking during the workday, it's also the more experienced generations, and generally it's the baby boomers and the traditionalists who call the young the time wasters, so to speak.
Right. Let's talk about the workplace then and how things are changing and perhaps how they need to change a bit more. Employers obviously are looking at adjusting some workplace policies to allow for social networking usage, but at the same time, there is that fine line between it being a workplace tool and a time waster. So what are the big concerns for employers?
Well, I think it's similar to whenever new technology is brought into the workplace. I recollect in a session somebody saying once upon a time it was a promotion to have a phone on your desk. And so at that point in time, you know, folks said, make sure you don't make any personal phone calls. And then we had the evolution of the cell phone and how we use cell phones in the workplace. And now that's less of a complaint or less of an issue. So I think, again, here with social networking sites, we're evolving in the workplace to see that people can still be productive and yet spend 15 minutes on Facebook or 15 minutes on YouTube. It's no different than going for coffee for 15 minutes or hanging out by the water cooler. So I think that there is a slight or slow transition in the mindset. And then some progressive organizations, to come back to your last point, some progressive organizations actually do see the value of some of these social networking tools as a productivity tool. So whether it is to use YouTube or Facebook as a learning or collaboration tool, it's happening. It's just happening very slowly. And that's where we try to get organizations and senior leaders to recognize the value of these tools and to not be afraid of them, so to speak.
If you think back 10 or 15 years ago, when email etiquette was still a bit of an issue and people needed to be instructed at the time to be careful about what they sent on to employers or coworkers, because it was essentially just like writing a paper note and there would be physical evidence of everything you've written down later on, same can be said for social networking. You do have to be careful about what you write out there, because it is public domain. And if you're thinking about your career aspirations or how what you say might affect your career, well, your employer is probably thinking about that as well.
Absolutely. I think that's a terrific comparison. And so there, too, not only did we develop, guidelines and practices that we encouraged employers to and employees to follow. So here, too, this is what we try to explain to, senior leaders and HR teams when we work with them, is what kind of policies do you need to construct in order to set everybody up for success and not have any surprises? And then what are the positive effects? How can you positively use these tools within your workplace to enhance collaboration?
We're just about out of time, but I did want to mention you have a special breakfast event coming up later this week, and you're going to be talking a little bit more about the findings of your research into the generational usage of social networking. Where is that taking place, and what exactly are you going to be talking about?
Well, thanks very much for mentioning that. It is unfortunately taking place in Toronto. I know I'm speaking to an Ottawa audience, so I apologize for that. It's taking place in Toronto on Thursday morning, and we will be focusing primarily on the four key findings out of our research. We have a wealth of research that we're just starting to dig through. We asked about 18 questions in the survey and have a lot of cross-tabulation left to do, but we're going to highlight four key themes in performance management, technology use, economy, and career expectations, and we'll be hosting a webinar then as well in June, as well as another event in Calgary on May 14th.
Fantastic. Well, we would like to get more information on those seminars and webinars as they take place, so hopefully we can chat again in the not-too-distant future and talk about the evolution of social networking in the workplace. It's definitely something that I think a lot of employers have been somewhat ignoring up to now, but they won't be able to for much longer, and certainly some guidance is more than welcome. Joa Bahini is one of the co-founders of NGen. A real pleasure chatting with you today. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure, Greg. Thanks for the contact.